Thank you. Thank you. Hello, church. How are you? Lovely to meet you all. I'm from the sunny Whitsundays. If it gets under 28, we put a jacket on. Amen. I'm so blessed. There's only a couple of places you ever want to get called to minister, and that's the Whitsundays and the Sunshine Coast, I reckon. And people go, oh, you know, God, he's going to call me, and it's going to be up past the black stump in the back of Whoop Whoop, and you don't want that. Well, God is not that God, amen. He wants to bless the socks off you. He wants to see you absolutely blessed, amen. It was an absolute joy to go to the Whitsundays. I dreamed of living in the Whitsundays. I could just never get there in my own strength. And then one day, out of the blue, God calls me to pastor a church in the Whitsundays. Okay, Lord. I'll carry that burden. Hallelujah. Doing the old hop, skip, and jump. Man, I'm so blessed to be with you. How awesome is this crowd? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a bigger amen?
Amen?
I'm a pretty vocal guy, okay? Like, I'm relational. They call me and my boss, they call me Dan Kelly, and he's Ned. We're bush rangers. We go around and hold people up. we're meant to be working, and we're around talking to everyone. So my name's nickname's Dan. I love talking. So you'll get that over the time. Like Will said, for beautiful family at home. We have a beautiful home. I'm a contract electrician. Had my own business for 6-7 years, and I felt called by God to go into ministry. And by 30, I was pastoring in the Whitsunday region. Completely different ball game to signing a check and getting your money. Amen? Try and work the kingdom of God without any experience. Not an easy thing. But we are doing amazing things for our church, for our region. We're seeing signs, miracles, wonders. We're seeing it all. We had a woman. She was numb from there down. I didn't know how bad her leg was. And she had a walking stick and a moon boot because she couldn't walk. And I thought, oh, moon boot, accident, 3 months, you know, she'll be out of it. And it was to here. And she come up for prayer and she's like, I don't want to go up. I don't want to be discouraged again, God. Anyway, God said, go up, go up. And so she come up and I just laid hands on her to receive full restoration. Little did I know that she had this cast. Doctors couldn't do anything for nearly 10 years. And she said, I could feel a burning sensation in my leg that was completely numb. It's only just happened. Oh, well, it actually happened a year ago, but she only just told me. I didn't see her for a year. She comes back because we're at the same birthday party. She's like, Josh, look at my leg. I'm going, who's this lady? She's going, you prayed for it. And I'm going, praise God. But you don't understand. I tell everyone it's completely restored. I'm going, that's great. She goes, yeah, but that was for 10 years nearly. And I'm like, holy smokes. Praise God, amen. Hallelujah. And so we just, over the years, I've just learnt to build the authority of God, who I am in Christ, changing my confession to be able to walk in the power of God more than just hear about it. How many churches hear about it? Hear about the presence of God. Hear about the healings of God. Hear about what God's doing. We walk in it. That's the difference. We walk in the power and presence of God. Amen. We see people healed all the time. We send healing hankies out. We want to manifest the presence of God on this earth. And it's really easy to get stuck in the God will do it over there. But sometimes we have to work out, why is the tap turned off and we're not seeing the flow? Amen? And so we've got to actually start partnering with God till we see the flow. And it doesn't always happen straight away. Sometimes it's really hard and you turn the tap on, it just trickles a little bit. And you see little things that happen. And God says, keep moving, keep pushing, keep believing, keep confessing, keep, go again, God. Go again, mate. even through the discouragement of God, I haven't seen this healing in my life. Have I stopped you? Have I told you to stop confessing truth? Have I told you to stop being who you're called to be, a son of the living God? No, Lord, you're still on the throne. I'm a son of God, and I speak the love of God right now in Jesus' name over the region. Hallelujah. I just put the love of God right now over you. Just receive it. Just receive his love right now. I was hopping on the plane yesterday, and God said, give him your love, give him my love. And I'm like, no worries, God, I'd love to. I just put his presence over you right now. Peace. The word security come. Joy. Rest. His grace. His mercy. Just pray that in Jesus' name right now. There it is. Just receive it. Close your eyes if you have to. Just receive it. Receive his peace. Just have it. Who's sick in their body? Who has sickness in their body at the minute? One, two. Can I just get you to quickly, would you quickly just come up? I won't take too much time. I'm just going to put my hand on you. I'm going to lay my hands on you. Just jump off the camera for a second. Body, you're healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Healed in Jesus' name. Right, there it is. There it is. You feel that? Healed in Jesus' name. Body, you're restored in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Completely restored in Jesus' name. There it is. Receive his presence. Receive it in Jesus' name. Restored. Healed in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Restored in Jesus' name. Fire in Jesus' name. The presence of God right now. Restored in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Body, you're restored. The Holy Ghost, there it is. Just receive it. Restored in Jesus' name. Body, you are restored in Jesus' name. You are in alignment with the Word of God. Body, every single body here, you are in alignment with the Word of God. Christ has already died and risen. He rose again, so you are alive in Christ and you are completely restored and healed in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not looking for a work, it's done. We're walking in a work. We're walking in the finished work of Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have the power of the Holy Ghost in you right now. You have his presence washing over you. You have the healing of God in you right now. Every single bone, every single ligament, every single part of your bodies is in alignment with the Word of God right now. And the Holy Ghost will assure you of it. Amen. The Holy Spirit will assure you of it because he's our comforter. He's our love. He's our friend. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Who can feel the power of the Holy Ghost? Woo! Come on, we can't. We've got to stretch and flex sometimes, amen? Jesus says that he causes our body, right, to come into alignment with what's happened in our spirit. Amen? My message to you today is called Ghost Drop. Ghost Drop. There you go, Ghost Drop. I said that so you remember it. Who remembers the lolly? The ghost drops from when you're a kid. It's got nothing to do with it. But I thought you'll remember that. Amen. I didn't always have this authority, this ability to know who I was in Christ and to just put the Spirit on people and move in the power of the presence of God. It wasn't my strength. Had no idea. When I grew up in a cult. I literally didn't know Jesus from a bar of soap. Except, yeah, I just didn't know him. And so from when I was brand new, 7 days old or whatever, I literally went Sunday and Wednesday every week. I hardly missed one because my dad was so devout, my family was, that going to a non-denominational home church in the middle of, we're in Mackay, but it was 400 people in around the Queens, like in the Queensland area, who said that they were the only right way. 400 people. The only 400 people in the world that were saved. And yet they didn't believe they were saved. They were working for their salvation. They didn't know Jesus Christ as the Lord. They didn't know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Never had the revelation. So they were trying their hardest to perfect themselves through their own flesh and through reading the word through their own interpretation. And Damien said that about the Old Testament and the New Testament, then Jock talked about the covenants. My whole message is about, I get it. Yeah. I lived an Old Testament life. Wow. Not because I wanted to, because that's what I was told was truth. Yeah, yeah. So when I grew up in my church, our home church, a mother would hop up because we had a small group and everyone could share. But everyone was encouraged to share. So I remember hearing mums hop up and go, you know I'm never going to make it to heaven. This is not true. This, what I'm saying is true, but this isn't a true representation of God. So kids in the audience, this isn't God. This is what we were told was God. Okay? So we're literally, mums would hop up, I'm never going to make it to heaven. But I hopefully will live good enough to hopefully help my kids make it. And so we were encouraged. It says in Romans 8:1, I didn't say put this in the words, but you did not receive condemnation again. Yeah. Sorry, I'll go to it. Romans 8:1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And he was saying there's no condemnation. Well, we were actually taught to welcome condemnation. We were actually encouraged that that's how you got closer to God, by listening to a spirit that told you how you weren't good enough, so much so that it pushed your belief of yourself so low that you walked around as someone timid, afraid, constantly in fear. To the point where my mum knew that there was something wrong with it. She married into this, and my mum and dad are amazing. They're out of it. But for 50 years, my dad was in it. And so my mum wanted to leave, but she thought, if I leave, God will kill my children. So she was completely hated being in the bondage, but then couldn't leave the bondage because of the fear of what would happen when she left. Wow. So that was Welcome to Josh's Life 101. Try and put that in a... Try and not be messed up. That's what I'm going to say. Try and not be messed up after 21 years of that. Amen? Romans 8:15 says, you did not, I've got this one. Is it going to come up? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I learned this. I learned that the spirit of bondage is actually a real spirit. The Jews understood that when Paul wrote it. They understood when he said, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. It was because all of their lifetime, they were under the spirit of bondage for fear, because Christ hadn't come yet to redeem them from the curse of the law. So they lived in a constant curse of bondage, waiting for the Messiah. And Paul's saying, you didn't receive that spirit anymore. He was trying to renew their mind to who they now were in Christ, yet they had no idea. Isn't that amazing? He's going, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. When I got married, I went around Australia, cut a long story short, I went to all the different churches because there was no 400 of the only saved in the rest of Australia. And I started seeing these lovely people in this room. How could they all be going to hell? And I just started clicking. And then when I got back to Mackay, where we were living and I started my business, a few things were said, like when an elder come and said, yep, we're the only ones that'll be saved. And I'm like, hang on a second. I just went to a Pentecostal service for Tasmania where half of Tasmania come together. There was like 4,500 people in an auditorium. Are you saying to me that they don't have God? And so I started questioning. I thought, if this is God, I'm gone. So I left. An elder rung me, who we highly esteemed our elders, and he said, do you realize if you leave, you're going to hell? Same question posed to my mum. And I looked in the mirror, because I was in the room looking at the walk-in robe, and I looked in the mirror, I was staring at myself, and I'm like, if this is Jesus, if this is God, I'm going to hell. And I had to weigh up in myself whether I was willing to go to hell. And I made the choice, I would rather go to hell than stay in this, if this is God. That's a big decision for a 21-year-old. Massive. I thought, right, God hasn't got it. I'm going into the world. Hallelujah. I've missed out on some life experiences here. So I coupled myself with some businessmen and they helped project me into a bit more power. And I used to get the VIPs in the clubs and you name it. I was like, I was up there with the prestige. And then they got you into drugs because what else do you do when you own business and you got money and you're starting to collect wealth? Well, by 24, everything I wanted in my life, I wanted a house, I wanted a family, children, a business, and money in the bank. By 24, I'm standing on my back patio with my own home, another one getting built, a wife with two kids, 200 odd thousand in the bank, a brand new Jeep Grand Cherokee, and a 21-foot reef boat in my shed. And I was completely and utterly depressed. Absolutely beside myself, absolutely lost. And God said to me at that moment, what more do you want, mate? Do you want another car? He wasn't saying I couldn't have it. He's saying, will those things ever fulfill what you're missing? And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I remember turning on the spot, opening the sliding door and giving my heart back to God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the problem though. I gave my heart to God and God over 2 weeks revealed to me that Jesus Christ truly was the Son of God. Amen. So I was completely saved. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was seeing visions. I got to go to Africa on missions trips. I seen visions. I got to pray for people. They got healed. Such a change happened in my life that my mum and dad said, what happened to that man? They left the cult. They were leading the Mackay area. They left it and they come out. I got to bring my sisters to the Lord. Hallelujah. Like, just in me, amen. Like the power of God was in me. But my mind had been only trained one way. I had been washed with the water of the word through a spirit of bondage. Wow. Amen. Wow. So my mind was, I got delivered instantly from drugs, completely delivered, never touched another one. And I mean, I was on speed, like, you know, it wasn't just small stuff. And it was just instant bang, gone. Smoking, I couldn't give it up. 1 week of being saved by Christ and it was done. I used to smoke behind my wife's back. And now I didn't have to try and hide the smell of my fingers, you know? Like, amen? Glory! Can I get a glory? Glory! Yeah, hallelujah. Let's praise God. God's powerful. But for some reason, God didn't want to just instantly deliver me from bondage. He wanted to take me through renewing my mind through the Word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit. That would have been a great thing to know if he told me what he was doing. Amen. That would have been fantastic. But I had no idea. So I was filled with the Holy Spirit, running with God in my spirit, born again, moving in the power of God, but completely religious. We used the same Bible. That's a bit old looking. But we used the same Bible as you used in the cult. But we were taught it through the perspective, the lens of a spirit of bondage. So every word on this page spoke death to me. You're not good enough. We used to welcome thoughts like, I'm just like Judas Iscariot. So when you open yourself up to that spirit and you keep listening to it and receiving it, you're giving him place in your life to minister to you. And so what fruit does that leave you in? When a bondage spirit ministers to you, it leaves you in fear, anxiety, depression, afraid, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness. Yeah. But the fruit of death is fear, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, worry, contention, strife, wrath. Amen? And so I'd open myself up to this, but I didn't know. All I knew is that I was supercharged on the inside, and the God I knew was the spirit of bondage. Jesus with a big stick trying to hold me out of heaven. And so by faith and by zealousness, I followed it and followed it and followed it. And it would say things like, you haven't told your wife everything you've done. You're still not forgiven. And so for years, I put my wife through this torment of trying to tell her everything to expose myself to try and feel forgiven. It's so deep to the point where you need to go and just finish yourself right now. And my wife was pregnant with our little son, and I'd be like, he's got 3 months to go. I'm waiting till then. Just constant bombardment of suicidal thoughts. You allow the devil in to speak into your life, he will happily walk through those doors. Amen. And if you confess with him and agree with him, he will happily take that place. He can't take the strong man out. The strong man is Jesus Christ. Amen. Whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, right? He couldn't take Christ out of me, but he could try and ruin the man from being who Christ called him to be. Hallelujah. And that's what he needed to do. Because he doesn't want us to walk in the power of God. He doesn't want us to walk in the authority of God. He doesn't want to see us see people saved and people healed and people coming to Christ. Hates it. So destroy the man of God. Amen. So I'm sitting here, same word. The word to me speaks death, whereas it should be speaking life. And I don't know how to read it. Because I followed that spirit so much so, I got to the point where I was so scared to even leave my room in case I did something wrong that stopped me from going to heaven, that I was bound to my bed. I was just bound there. I was hidden. 2:30 every morning, a demon would wake me up and torment me for hours. That's even if I got a good night's sleep. I was in a lather of sweat for over a year and anxious as. My wife shut our business down because it took a year to actually shut down your company. She shut it down for me while I was inside on a couch. You could have strapped me and put me in an asylum in a straitjacket. That is no word of a lie. And I was fully born again, fully filled with the Holy Spirit. Just my mind hadn't been renewed to who Christ was. And I didn't even mean to. I was just genuinely following him with my whole heart. I just didn't know how to discern what spirit. at the very, very bottom of this pit, it says when a sheep loses its way from a shepherd, even if there's wolves around it, it'll just drop on the ground because it's so lost. It loses its orientation, it loses everything, so it just goes, I lie down. I've got nothing left. And as much as I was so afraid to go to hell and so afraid that I'd miss God and so afraid, I didn't know I was saved and I was 6 or 7 years into my Christian walk. I didn't know I was forgiven and I was 6 or 7 years into my Christian walk. And I literally got to the point where I was so exhausted in my own strength that I just laid down and went, Lord, I don't know, I'm done, I'm lost. And it was a really, really horrific moment, but I think God had to get me to the end of myself so he could show me a taste of who he is, if that makes sense. And so I'm literally laid down on this, on my lounge floor beside myself, and then God just gives me this ghost drop, a holy ghost drop of his love. I didn't ask for it. I didn't even know what it was. It scared the living daylights out of me. I absolutely freaked out. I've never felt peace and mercy and grace and goodness like it. We experience it all the time as born-again Christians, but I'd never experienced it. Amen? And so I was just like, oh my goodness, what happened to me? And it took a couple of weeks, but I figured out that experience from the Holy Spirit was so beautiful and divine, I wanted to taste that again. Come on, man. Amen? Yes. But I'm completely lost, remembering I can't read this. I read this, it reads death. I read this, it says you are condemned. You aren't going to heaven, because I'd just been taught it so severely the wrong way that I couldn't read it. Yet I knew I loved it. I loved the Bible, I loved the word, but I couldn't. I only knew it through myself. And so God did this most amazing thing. He gave me a taste of his presence. Then, when I was reading the Bible, I stopped reading all of the Old Testament, because that's where, you know, I spent a lot of time in. Nothing wrong with it. But he had to get me back onto who I was in Christ. And for some reason, I started reading Ephesians chapter 1. And he would say things like, or it says in Ephesians chapter 1. Let me go to it. Ephesians chapter 1. It says things like, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Well, that sounded a bit peaceful. Amen. And then verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And I'd read that and I'm going, I don't feel forgiven. I feel absolutely scared to death, anxious, right? Yet his word saying, in him, in Christ, I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And God said to me, are you going to believe that, what the word's saying, or are you going to believe how you're feeling right now? Well, where I've been feeling, the anxiousness, the fear, the death, has only caused me absolute demise. So maybe I'm willing to give what his word says a go, and I'm going to believe this. Well, as soon as I went, well, I know I don't feel forgiven, and I know I got the enemy continually telling me day and night, you're not forgiven. Jesus says, I am forgiven. I'm going to believe that. And I held on to it. And as soon as I held on to it, the Holy Spirit came over me again and dropped his spirit of peace. I'm like, oh, that was good. I like that. And so the Holy Ghost, the God of the Word, had to teach me the Word of God. Amen? Because I was taught the Word from a spirit of bondage. I couldn't do it without the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had to teach me how to read the Bible through his eyes and not through man's or flesh. Amen. And he did it by showing, when I believed in something, he would drop into my spirit a confirmation that I was right with what I'd read and how I'd received it. Isn't that amazing? And I went from on the couch to within 1 year pastoring a church to within 5 years walking in the power and the authority of Christ, to the point where I go, if the devil stole from me all those years, and for us as from part of that cult, to even say you were saved was pride. How dare you even say it, you proudful person. So when I actually, God, I could step you through scripture by scripture, foundation upon foundation, precept upon precept of how to know what salvation is, how you're saved, how to confirm that you're saved, how the Holy Spirit confirms that you're saved, because I was so broken down in that area that I had to know what the Word of God said, partnered with the Holy Ghost confirming the Word of God, to the point where I know so much so that I am a son of God that people can say, you seem arrogant in your boldness. And I go, praise God. Hallelujah. I had a lady in a coffee shop go, she goes, how do you know your God's the right way? I said, because Jesus says he's the right way and he says he's the way, the truth and the life. She goes, you are so arrogant. I said, thank you. Hallelujah. That's because I'm willing to stand on the truth. If Jesus says I'm forgiven, the enemy will say, no, you're not. Well, which one are you? According to the Word of God and the Spirit in me, confirming the Word of God, I'm a saved son of the living God. Hallelujah. I built myself up, sitting in his presence, hearing what the Holy Spirit says about the Word, letting him confirm the Word, learning to trust the voice of his presence and his goodness and his peace and his mercy. And I had to build that up inside of me to the point where I'm like, I want all of you, Christ. I want to walk in the power of God. I don't want to just be Christians who just hear about God. They're not effective compared to the Christians who walk in the power of God. Amen. And he's still building me. Today he's going, Josh, walk in your authority. Walk in your authority. You're a son. You don't need to beg me. You don't need to wonder if I'm here. I'm walking in you. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I'm changed my confession all the time. I sit in the shower, stand in the shower. Between off-key singing, you know how the showers get fogged? I'm writing in the fog, Son of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. I speak it over myself. It's not a duty. It's I know the more I agree with what the Spirit is confirming in me and I confirm it with what the Scripture is saying, I become a giant, a stronghold, a spiritual warrior for Christ. Amen. I became authority for our region. I'm the boss of my region. Amen. There's a lot in that. I'm not going there. Hallelujah. But I am. I teach my church. We're not the lesser of our region. We're not some weak, limp-wristed Christians. Amen. We're the power of the living God inside of us. We have his authority. Jesus, when he came, people were like, that man speaks with authority. The scribes and Pharisees, they don't. And Jesus says, I'm going that just as Christ is, so are we on this earth. He walked in authority. We walk in authority. And we're not taught that as an Australian culture, but I'm learning it more and more that it's okay to stand in your authority and be who you're called to be. Amen? When I was in the cult, we were taught to be humble and weak and we're not good enough. So I was always 82 kilos for my frame and I was always like this. And I walked through life like that. But I had to get to a point where I was like, hang on a second, I'm a son of God. I know who I am. So for me, when I hit 100 kilos, I was like, hallelujah, because it wasn't just physical, it was a spiritual belief in myself that I am a son of God. Amen? We just need a Holy Ghost drop. Holy Ghost drop of love. That's what we need. We use the Holy Ghost and His love coupled with the Word of God as He ministers it to you and He teaches you how to interpret what He's saying to you. Amen? And we use those two things to, and we believe it and we rise up on the inside and we become who we're called to be in Christ. Hallelujah. And it's our responsibility. It's no one else's. It's my responsibility to partner with my loving Father to walk in the power and presence of what He's called me to be. Hallelujah. My responsibility. I can't wait for Will to do it for me. I really can't. And I tell my church that. I can't wait. You can't wait for me to do it. What are you called to do? What are you called to be? Do you think I loved for 7 or 8 years being tormented by a demon till I knew who I was in Christ? Absolutely not. You know, I could have easily sat there and done the blame game. Look what my dad did to me. Look what my mum did to me. If my mum and dad didn't do this, I wouldn't be left here. Those thoughts were bombarding me. I was like, shut up, devil. 2:30 in the morning. Shut up, devil. Get behind me, you foul spirit. Seriously. I am not going to be a victim. I am not a victim. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. He rose again. I'm seated next to the Father. There's no victims in heaven, amen. We're righteous and victorious. He says, look at us as you are from above, not on the earth. Well, in heaven, I'm royalty seated beside the Father, next to Christ. There's no victims there. Cut the victim off. There's no place for the devil. Amen? Where there's no place for flesh. He wants us to carry these things, church. He wants us to build an identity around, oh, but you know what? You know what I've gone through. You got no idea. You got no idea what I've gone through. It's not an excuse. It's a platform to project you into your future, but it's not an excuse. I used it as a leverage tool to be speaking to you beautiful people on the Sunshine Coast by 36. Hallelujah. I used it as a leverage tool. Why use it as a weakness? What the enemy's done to you. Use it as leverage against him to advance the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Walk in the power of God. See His might. See the goodness of God in the land of the living. Cause those things which aren't as they are, so that they are. Bring faith into existence. Hallelujah. We are so blessed. Amen. The Holy Spirit will confirm with you. The Holy Spirit is experiential as much as it is the Word of God, you know, truth. He is. This is my application for you. If we can go there. It's Romans 8:16 again. This is my application. This was one of the biggest foundations I built off. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You can sit with that scripture. I sat with it for years. It was one of my go-to. I would build myself up in who I was in Christ, and then the enemy would come and try and pull me all the way back down, right? But while I was building up and then getting stretched back by a demon, I wouldn't go back to the same place of where I originally started. So I kept building my strength in who I was, and he stopped taking as much ground from me. Does that make sense? But one of my most solid scriptures that kept holding me from him taking too much ground was his spirit, the Spirit of God, bears witness is, so it's what it means by bear witness, it's telling you constantly that and assuring you that you are a child of God. Amen? So you've got the Word of God, so this is truth, and you've got the Spirit of God working together to train you and strengthen you and equip you and strengthen your inner man to cause you to know how to hear His voice and also how to apply the Word. Amen? And so you might, I went over that scripture, I can't imagine, thousands of times, right? I've sat in that scripture. I've spent all day just saying that scripture and experiencing what God does when I speak it. I'll say the Spirit Himself bears witness with my spirit that I'm a son of God. And then I'd experience the Holy Spirit confirm it. Confirm it. Confirm it. And it got so strong, so much so, I did it so many times, so much so, that if I, because you got to remember, I was like a horse with blinkers on. Every way a normal Christian would get truth, I couldn't get it because everything I was taught was a lie. It was saying the same words were twisted and manipulated. So you'd say the word surrender, to me that would be a trigger point for I'm not good enough. You would say saved and I would just freak out because what does saved mean? So every word was a trigger point. So I needed the Holy Spirit so much so to, I'd hear every little thing He would say and hear His peace and taste Him and taste Him and taste Him, because you can taste the Holy Spirit. I know that's a spiritual way of saying you can experience Him, amen? You can taste Him when you're reading Scripture. And I learned to taste the Holy Spirit with the Scripture so that I could build myself up in who I was in Christ. And these words, these scriptures that I'm just sharing now, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, is a tasting scripture with a word of truth. Amen? You can sit in that and taste the Spirit as well as be confirmed through the Word. Ephesians, just go to Ephesians. To finish on this. You enjoying this? That's good. Cost me about 10 years. Let's go to Ephesians 1:14. We get Ephesians 1:14 up there? We might have it. But it says, I'll read it, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So I'll go to 13. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Right? The Holy Spirit was sealed in you, which means He doesn't fly away. Yeah, well. When you believed in Jesus Christ, He came and dwelt in you as the temple of God. He doesn't fly away. Yeah. He stays in you because you're holy and you're righteous. Wow. And you can't be removed from the Spirit because you believe in the Son of God. Amen. And while you believe in the Son of God, the Spirit stays in you. Yeah. Amen. And we're not ones who are not going to believe, so the Spirit stays in us. Hallelujah. No matter when you cuss your neighbor and all that and then you got to say sorry, Spirit's still there. Otherwise, He said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Why does He say don't grieve Him? Because the Spirit's there, amen? And you can He can be grieved. So we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, but He's sealed in you. And the taste word in this is, He is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit confirms with you that you have an inheritance in heaven. The Word of God is that you have an inheritance. The taste word is that He guarantees it. He tells you it from the inside out to confirm the Word of God to you through the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's a taste word. Maybe my message should have been called taste word. But you need a Holy Ghost drop, amen, of his love. It's the Holy Ghost drop of his love that confirms the word in you, which causes you to be able to trust it and believe it and stand up on the inside and be who you're called to be. Hallelujah. And the more you confess it, the more you stick with it, the more you... I'm going a bit over time, sorry. Is that okay?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I was so worried. I shouldn't even confess that. But the more I don't line... Jesus says, let your yes be yes, your no be no. Right? What he's trying to say there is, there is no benefit in being a maybe. A maybe doesn't help you. Maybe the Holy Spirit said this. Maybe the Holy Spirit said that. Maybe I'm forgiven. No, when Jesus says you are forgiven and the Word of God, the Holy Spirit confirms what he says, it's a done deal. Hallelujah. It is finished. Amen. And so we've got to change the culture of our confession from a maybe to a I am. And when we change the culture of our confession, we go into a different dimension of authority. We actually start rising up and I go, I am a son of God.
Yeah.
I am holy.
Yeah.
I command the spirits of this region to bow in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Not Holy Spirit, just bow those spirits in the region. No, spirits, you bow in Jesus' name. You have no authority over me.
Yeah.
Just as Christ is, so am I on this earth. I have that authority. And I thought, if back a bit, remember, salvation to me was an impossibility. So I'm stretching deeper than most Christians probably go to a place of, if salvation was an impossibility for me back then, 10 years ago, what's the possibilities of God's power, amen, that I can actually push myself into? So I'm like running with God, and listening to what he's saying and saying only what he's telling me to say, because I want to see the power of God manifest on this earth. Amen. Let your past be your future leverage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. May God absolutely bless you tonight. Today. I do 5 o'clock services. Bless you today. Holy Spirit, just drop on them in love right now in Jesus' name. Just bless them right now. Hallelujah. Just receive his love. Thank you, Jesus. Touch them right now, Lord. I pray you just rise them up, who they are in Christ. Change their friends if you have to, Lord. We need friends who are going to align with what we believe. Amen. We need friends who align with what we believe. We need friends who are going to lift us up and cause us to speak the confession we need to see the power of God manifest on this earth. You have everything in you in Jesus' name already. The Holy Spirit is in you. You can experience him right now. His power, his presence, it's in you right now. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.